Hello. Happy Saturday. So, as some of you may have heard me mention like once or twice, I've got this book coming out this week, The Sicilian Inheritance. Yeah, you know, I mean, I know that I don't talk about it enough. It's true. But I do. It comes out on Tuesday. All of you have been so supportive and wonderful and ordered the book. If you want to order more, there's more available. Tell a friend. We are all influencers. We are. So you could stop strangers on the street if you want and be like, hey, have you heard about this awesome book? Let's go have a glass of wine and be in a book club together. It's a good way to make new friends. It is. Today, I want to share something with you that I've been working on for a year. The Sicilian Inheritance is a novel loosely based on my great-great-grandmother Lorenza's murder. But it's fiction. I just took this like little tiny nugget of a story and ran with it and created the greatest novel that I've ever written. But because I am nothing if not a thorough content creator, once the book was finished, I decided, I've got to solve this murder in real life. Like, I don't have a choice. I have to do this. So I took my three children under the age of 6 to Sicily last summer and started reporting, and we set out to solve this murder. And also, as many of you know, I just got back. I went back to Sicily again 2 weeks ago because I got access to the mafia and homicide records from 1916, which was cool as shit, my friends. I mean, just crazy pants bananas that I got to do this. So I've been reporting for a year, digging through archives, interviewing people in Sicily, interviewing my own relatives, talking to the historians at Ellis Island and genealogists from Ancestry.com. And now, the Sicilian Inheritance True Crime Podcast is finally here. And it sounds so good. I mean, this is what happens. Because we had a fancy production studio making this, Kaleidoscope, love them so much. I mean, this is what a podcast sounds like when you put money into it. I'm like, oh my God, money makes something sound better. Who knew? But I love this so much. Again, it's true crime, but also it's a travel podcast. It's an adventure podcast. I like to describe it as White Lotus meets Only Murders in the Building, where Nick is totally Martin Short, meets Bluey, because I've got my three kids with me, as you will hear in this episode. This is the first episode. It's called Lorenza, which was my great-great-grandmother's name. And like I said, I just want to share it with you because I love it so much. The whole podcast is also called The Sicilian Inheritance because I like to make things easy for people, much like I married Nick Astor on my birthday because I'm like, oh, you should only remember one day and then get me a really, really nice present on that day. I want to call everything The Sicilian Inheritance. So you're like, oh, I heard there's a book and a podcast. And what are they each? Oh, they're both called The Sicilian Inheritance. So please enjoy this. It's a nice thing to listen to while you're going about your Saturday. And I can't wait to hear what you think because I've been working on this all year and it's such a labor of love. And it's nice to get things out into the world. It is. I feel like I just gave birth to two book podcast babies. All right, here you go. Hey, babe. I'm trying to solve a mystery, Charlie.
Charlie, what do you need?
What do you need?
These goggles don't work.
What's wrong with them? I think you had them on upside down, man.
I'm sitting by the pool in Scapello, Sicily, with my podcast producer, Kate, and my three kids.
I'm too cool.
Beezy, do you want to hear about the family mystery?
No?
Yes. Yeah? You want this towel?
Charlie is much more interested in the very deep pool.
Oh.
B is freezing.
What is the mystery?
Everyone's jet lagged, and I'm questioning every decision that I've ever made about my life.
Bees, do you know why we're here in Sicily?
Why?
I'm trying to solve the mystery of my great-great-grandmother, of her... Can I say murder to a three-year-old?
Her death.
How she died.
How?
We don't know yet. We're trying to figure it out. We're trying to learn. Do you want to help me?
I'm not exactly sure what possessed me when I made this plan, jetting off to Sicily with a 5-month-old baby, a 3-year-old, and a 6-year-old.
Do you want to help me?
For a vacation / fact-finding mission to look for clues into my investigation into my great-great-grandmother's century-old murder, right here in our motherland.
Do you want to know what her name was?
Her name was Lorenza. Can you say that?
Lorenza?
I keep telling myself that if we can learn something new, something more concrete about what happened to her, it will all be worth it. But just being here, it all feels more real. She feels more real. And we are closer. Closer to figuring out if my great-great-grandmother really was murdered right here on this island. And if so, why? I'm Joe Piazza from Kaleidoscope and iHeart Podcasts. This is The Sicilian Inheritance, Chapter 1, Lorenza.
Do you, like, remember the first time you heard this?
It's hard to say. I feel like I've always known this story because Italian-Americans love to tell stories, and they love to embellish stories, and especially if it's really salacious or it could possibly have something to do with the mafia. They love that shit.
Can you just walk me through the quote-unquote
story? Yeah, the story. The story is one that I've known all my life. I've heard it over and over and over again. Not always in the same way, and definitely not with the same information. It's my family's origin story. The story of where we, the Piazzas, came from. It all starts a little over 100 years ago with my great-great-grandparents back in Sicily. The ancestral homeland, as far as my dad's side of the family is concerned. My great-great-grandfather Antonino and my great-great-grandmother Lorenza lived in this tiny village called Caltabalota, where they had 7 children. One by one, around 1910, Antonino and his son saved up enough money to sail to the U.S., pass through Ellis Island, and settle in the Northeast. The classic Italian-American story. Lorenza was supposed to follow them eventually. But she never made it. She died in Caltabalota. According to my family's 100-year-long game of telephone, she was murdered. For years, this story has just been a mystery for our family, something we've enjoyed speculating about, swapping different bits and pieces and versions of the story. As you'd say in Italian, la chiacchiera, idle gossip.
Hello.
Hey, Sharon, how you doing?
I'm okay. So now I hear you're writing my memoir, and I'm going to become famous now, right?
You are, yeah. Yeah, that's the plan.
Yeah, I wish.
And this story was always told with a kind of hand gesture, where you push your thumb into your nose and lower your voice when you say the Black Hand or the Mafia.
Now, in Sicily, there's still tons of mafia. And, of course, they called it the Black Hand.
Which is why, for me, for a long time, I thought the whole thing might be bullshit.
Well, nobody knows for sure. There's 2 stories.
But over the years, as I've heard it more and more, Lorenza's story and her potential murder have become a bit of an obsession. Maybe that's because we're a family of storytellers, sometimes liars, definitely myth makers, myself included. I'm a writer, and recently I turned my fascination with Lorenza into a novel. It's also called The Sicilian Inheritance, and it is loosely based on my family's story. A woman is left alone, there's an unsolved murder, there's just a lot more food and wine and sex thrown in. And look, my obsession with this story, this family story, may have ended there. But the writing, it got me fixated on the real story and the real woman. Who was the real Lorenza Marsala? And what actually happened to her? So I started digging. And I began with my best sources, my family.
The first thing I'm doing is asking different family members what they think the story is. What do they know?
Good luck with that. Good luck with that.
Hello, dear.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
This is Uncle Jimmy. He's my dad's older brother.
I want to hear everything you know.
Well, I don't know any more than probably you do, but Jimmy and I have been talking about it. And our one concern is if it's too realistic, you're going to wind up starting our vendetta again, and I'm too old to go over there and shoot somebody. And Jimmy wants to bring his kids over there.
Are you too old to go over there and shoot somebody, Uncle Jim? Are you really?
Oh, hell no. Shit, no.
No.
Vendetta or not, I kept calling relatives.
You know that you have this book coming out. I didn't know it was finished.
That was Aunt Gail. When I was growing up, she lived down the street. She was like a second mom to me.
I'm bad at writing sex scenes. Okay, like I am like, I have to get like real drunk to write them. Yeah. I hope you don't write too many sex scenes.
No. Drunk all the time.
Cousin Sissy, she's a romance novelist. Cousin Sharon, cousin Laura. We have a lot of cousins. We are Italian Americans. We breed like rabbits.
All I know is just obviously hearsay.
Okay, so here's what I was told.
Grandpa, my grandpa, Santo Piazza, immigrated to the U.S.
Santo came over with his sibling.
Large family, brothers and sisters, siblings that immigrated.
The boys came over to kind of settle in and, you know, all of that. So they came through Ellis Island, settled in New York.
The boys came over from Italy two by two.
They immigrated, and Dad came with them, but they left Mom behind.
They left their mother behind.
The right. Mother, to sell the farm.
His wife stayed behind to tend to. She said they had a family farm. What I heard was that the mom was interested in her land. She refused to sell.
Now, this part, I don't know if it's true. I don't know who told me, whether it was Aunt Anna or somebody else. But they had a vineyard, and the Black Hand took over the vineyard. So they did not have access to the vineyard.
The Black Hand. That's how my family tends to refer to the mafia in this story. It is not how Sicilians refer to the mafia. I just want everyone to know that. But this, right here, this is the reigning theory of how Lorenzo was killed. And it's the version of the story that's been in my head the longest. It's the version where the Piazzas owned a farm or a vineyard, it is unclear. And once Antonino and all of Lorenzo's sons had been gone in the U.S. for over a decade, the mafia killed Lorenzo to get that land.
They owned a farm and they left her behind to do the transaction. And the mafia allegedly stole it from her and killed her.
She sold the farm and all the money was in the house and they killed her for the money.
She was murdered while the boys were over here.
Maybe she had already sold the land and the mafia then killed her to get the money from the land. Maybe it was that money that she was planning to use to leave Sicily and finally reunite with her family.
They were kind of stupid to leave all that money, but there were no banks then or anything. And that was the money she was going to be using to come to the United States and get them started. Mm-hmm. But they were kind of stupid to leave her there alone like that.
What was her name?
The name of who?
Of the great-great-grandmother who was murdered.
Oh, I forget. I forget her name.
Oh, Lorenzo and Marcella.
For all the times that I've heard the story about Lorenzo being murdered, all the tellings and retellings, talking to my relatives this time made me realize how little any of us knew about her actual life. Or her death, for that matter.
Did you hear how they killed her?
No, I never heard any details of her death.
Right. Aunt Dana didn't give any details. I don't remember.
That's the thing. There have never been any real details when this story gets told. Things that you can prove. And that's always what's made me skeptical. Like maybe it was never a murder. Maybe her story could be as open and shut as a case of the flu. Maybe she got sick, and that's why she didn't make it over. A tragedy for sure, for her sons and her daughters. But not exactly worth the legend status. Maybe the family needed to make her death into something more than just a virus. I mean, my dad was a claims attorney. My Uncle Jimmy's a judge. Like, we're a very basic Italian-American family, but they love imagining that there's some kind of adventure and romance in possibly being adjacent to the mafia, even though they're absolutely not.
Yeah. And this story gives it to them.
This story does give them that. This story gives them some kind of connection. And I think that's what they love about this story. Like, if she was possibly killed by the mob, why? And, like, that gives them this link to, you know, Goodfellas, The Sopranos, The Godfather.
When I started writing my novel, I didn't want to know the real story. I wanted to use the small bits and pieces that I knew about Lorenza to get started, and then let my imagination run wild with the rest. But once the book was put to bed, I got this tug in my gut. Something told me the story wasn't finished. And that's when I needed to know the truth about what happened to Lorenza. I became obsessed.
What really sent me looking for answers was this email from my dad from about a decade ago. Toward the end of his life, he used to send me dozens of emails a day. And one day, a couple years ago, when I was cleaning out my inbox, one of those unopened emails caught my eye. It was his grandfather's birth certificate, Santo's birth certificate. And in the email, my dad remarked on how beautiful the mother's name was. Lorenza. She was the one who was murdered, he reminded me in all caps. That email got me to start doing a little more digging. Just a little bit of reporting. And as soon as I scratched the surface, it started to look a lot like I had a 100-year-old murder mystery on my hands.
Would there be a police record?
Yes, only in the case of murder.
One that I'm pretty sure I'm gonna be able to solve.
Same spot.
Oh my gosh, why would they be murdered together?
More after the break.
You hear that? Do you hear that? That's the gentle lapping of the Mediterranean Sea on the fine golden sand. By the magic of podcasting, you can almost feel the heat of the sun, the cool of the water, and the smell of the orange blossoms. And with a few short clicks, you can taste it too, because we have actually imported the finest Sicilian olive oil inspired by this very podcast. We've partnered with Philadelphia's own Cardenas Gourmet Foods to bring you the Sicilian Inheritance Olive Oil, a flavor journey from the volcanic soil of ancient groves through special terroir that family secrets and inherited stories provide. It's got a taste of fresh off-the-vine tomatoes and a hint of almonds. You can get your own bottle today at Cardenas Tap Room. Check the show notes for the link and all the details to buy. It's not only an incredible olive oil, but it will completely transport you to the beautiful and sometimes dangerous island of Sicily. So please do check out the show notes now, and thank you. Also, enjoy with something delicious.
I just spent $300 on Ancestry.com.
Oh, no.
I did.
As I tried to solve this mystery, I forced my husband, Nick, to be my enthusiastic sounding board for all of my discoveries.
Here is Santo.
No way.
I've got all the dates, but there she is.
This is the...
That's her.
Wow.
Which, of course, involved immediately Googling genealogy websites.
There's a picture of her.
No way. Look at that. Have you ever seen...
I've never seen this.
Wow.
She looks unhappy.
When you imagine an Italian nonna, what do you think of? A chubby lady in the kitchen making pasta. That is not Lorenza. Lorenza looks like she could kill you with her stare. Her cheekbones alone could cut glass. She looks like someone who might have been involved in some shit.
But this is very helpful because now we have the death date.
Yeah, or the alleged death date.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa, cool, Panda.
So before we go much further, I think I need to draw my family tree for you all. In fact, I now have a massive wall in my house where I sketched it all out. Lorenza Marsala, my great-great-grandmother on my dad's side, she was born in 1862. She married Antonino Piazza. Quick note here, just to make things extra confusing, in Italy, women don't take their husbands' last names. Did you know that? I didn't until we started doing this. So Lorenza kept the last name Marsala. Lorenza Marsala. Sounds like a pasta dish. Anyway, Lorenza and Antonino had 7 children who lived to adulthood. I personally have 3 children, and I think 7 is a lot of children. Anything more than 1 is a lot of children. Anyway, Lorenza and Antonino's kids. First, we've got Santo. He's my great-grandfather. Then Joseph, also known as Giuseppe. Vito and Calogero, also known as Charlie. And the daughters, Josephine, Paulina, and Rosa. All of them would eventually come to America. The men first. Santo, the oldest son, and Giuseppe left Sicily in 1905. Now, just to set the scene, picture this. Pre-World War I, turn of the century. A lot of Italians were immigrating back then, especially the ones living in intense rural poverty in southern Italy and Sicily. Between 1900 and 1910, more than 2 million Italians made their way across the Atlantic Ocean. And among them were Santo and his brother.
Lorenza's son, Santo, is my dad's grandfather.
Got it.
And he worked in the coal mines and was also a farmer.
This is me trying to explain it all to Kate. It's really hard to keep all this straight. And not that Kate is the best at keeping it straight either.
And presumably Santo told him.
No, that's the thing.
So Santo, like a lot of other Sicilians at the time, settled in Scranton, Pennsylvania. And he goes to work in the coal mines. 2 years later, their father, Antonino, joins them, bringing along another son. By 1912, most of the kids, all of the sons, are in the States. Lorenza and 2 of her daughters are still in Sicily. In 1916, Lorenza dies, and a few years later, her daughters would immigrate to the U.S. too. Now, Santo, the eldest son, he starts my particular branch of the family tree. Santo is the grandfather, or great-grandfather, to all of my relatives that you've heard so far.
They held a big reunion one time with all the Piazzas. The first generation Piazzas were there. It was fantastic. All my uncles and my dad were playing more, which is a finger game, you know, rock, stone, scissors almost. And they played bocce on a dirt road, and it was a great time. And it's one of the few times I have memories of seeing all Santo's brothers and sisters.
Santo also had a lot of children, 10 of them. And here the family tree gets even more confusing for a lot of reasons. Namely, because everyone seems to have the same names. There's so many. Giuseppes, Giuseppes, Josephines, Vitos, Vinnies. And then the names, they get anglicized when people come to the U.S. The Giuseppes become Joes. The Lorenzas become Lauras. The Vitos become Vinnies. You get the picture. Santo, at some point, lived with each of his children. And for as Sicilian as Santo was, he didn't like to talk about Italy.
I remember going there and my old great aunts would get my face and squeeze it and hurt the hell out of me and talking Italian.
Cousin Sharon, she's my second cousin, I think. I'm bad with the seconds and the thirds. Her mom, Rose, was one of Santo's children.
Santo was very quiet about his past. Growing up, I remember he didn't even want to acknowledge that he was Italian for a while there.
Really?
Like, yeah, it was very strange. Somebody would come to the door and see that he was clearly Italian with his, you know, deep accent. And he'd say, "You're in America, you speak English, no Italian." I mean, he didn't want, it was strange. He was very close-mouthed about much of his younger life, very close-mouthed. Oh, wow. So it's worth investigating and looking into.
Santo definitely didn't talk about what happened to his mother, Lorenza.
Your dad knew the most, I think, didn't he?
I know, but yeah.
My dad and his siblings and cousins are the complete opposite. They're obsessed with their Sicilian roots.
Santo was first generation. He wanted to hide being Sicilian so he could fit in this country, which for some immigrants was a pretty common reaction. My dad, on the other hand, he used to say things like capisce instead of understand, or mozzarella instead of mozzarella.
Picture this, Sicily, 1912.
So that everyone would know he was Italian.
Everything from Sicily means something.
My dad loved to pretend to be this kind of Tony Soprano tough guy, especially with my high school boyfriends. Sorry, Kurt Siegel.
Not with this Sicilian thing that's been going on for 2,000 years!
In the early 2000s, my dad started to get really sick with a rare form of muscular dystrophy. But instead of staying housebound or just feeling sorry for himself in bed, Lorenzo's story became this kind of unfinished business, and it seemed to light a fire in him. He started researching genealogy and taking trips to Sicily. By that time, he had to use a cane and a walker to get around, and his obsession had gone into overdrive. It's like falling in love with Sicily and with learning new things about his family gave him this way to escape his broken body.
He did some crazy stuff, too. He got this harebrained idea to start importing Sicilian organic olive oil, and he bought a shit ton of it. I mean, I think he blew probably about $100,000 on local Sicilian olive oil. But then there was something wrong with the caps and the labels, and they leaked, and it just sat in our garage for years and years, and he just pissed away all of his remaining money on this business that would never exist, but that was yet another way to like keep him going back to Sicily.
As he got sicker and less mobile, my dad could still sit at a computer, making calls and researching his leads on Lorenzo's murder. At the time, I found all of it a little bit silly.
I was so disinterested in this. I mean, if you think about 2000, I was in college. I was 20 years old. I graduate, I moved to New York. I'm not living with my parents. I could care less about my dad's obsession with Sicily. I'm like, that seems like a nice hobby for you, Dad. I'm happy for you. But we never talked about it. And now I really wish that we had. Like, now I really wish that I'd paid more attention and I'd listened to the things that he was finding out, because so much of it is also just now gone. I can't find anything in his email. Facebook won't let me into his Facebook account. So a lot of what he learned died with him.
A lot of parts of him are gone, and he would hate that. He wanted to know the answer to this mystery, and I wish that I'd been there to help him. But I was on my own journey, searching for a life partner, falling in love, getting married, getting pregnant, and then he was gone. I never properly grieved for him at the time. And it's just been hitting me now, his legacy and what he left unfinished. And now I feel like I owe him something by finishing what he started.
To do this thing for your dad? Do you feel like you have the same motivation he did? Or?
I think my motivation is different than Dad's. There's a part of me that wants to do this because he didn't get to finish it. And there's another part of me that wants to do it because I feel like this woman's real story deserves to be told. Like, for people to really know the truth about what happened to her instead of just becoming a character in everybody else's life.
Lorenzo Marsala was born in this village called Caltabalota, had a bunch of kids, and died there at age 54. That's pretty much all we know of her life. When she died, it was 1916. She still had two young daughters at home. The First World War had just broken out. Now that I'm a wife and a mother of three children, thank God it's not seven, her story just hits different. I'm getting closer to Lorenzo's age every year, and I can't stop thinking about our family story from her perspective. How did she feel about being left behind by her husband for more than a decade? Did she miss him? Or was it liberating to finally not just be someone's wife, to finally not be getting pregnant almost every single year? Did she feel safe in her own village? Was it okay because she had a lot of her family members around her? Or maybe she was in constant danger in this village, surrounded by mafia bandits.
I was asking somebody about her, and they just looked at me and they kept saying, Morte, Morte, no. And they're like, they shut it down. They wouldn't talk.
Really? You just said her name. You're like, Lorenza Marsala Piazza.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, Morte, Morte, Morte,
Morte. Morte.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Over the years, many of the Piazzas have gone back to Sicily looking for answers about our family's past. And a lot of them have returned with stories of dead ends and also unsettling experiences that happened when they tried to find out more about Lorenza.
They knew about the murders.
Mm-hmm. They knew about it, right?
Yeah, they did.
My Uncle Jimmy claims that when he was in Caltabolota, a bunch of police officers warned him off this case.
He said, you better drop it. Not in any threatening manner whatsoever, but just as a matter of, you don't want to start it off. You know, you don't want the vendetta to continue.
And if the warnings from the cops weren't enough, they also got a sign from above.
When we were there, we were at the church. Lightning struck the church. Okay,
what?
We were actually, yeah, we were in the church where they got married, and lightning struck the steeple. And I
while you were in it?
While we were, yeah. While we
Shut
were
up.
In the church, yeah, while we were in the church, we were in with the priest going through the records, right, in the rectory, and lightning struck the top of the church. We had to get out.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
My sister-in-law said, that is a sign. Get us out of here.
I'm starting to think that maybe my family doesn't want to know what really happened. They're pretty attached to the stories that they've been telling themselves for all these years.
Well, that's interesting because I wonder how people will feel. Like, if we actually get to like a truth, will it be disappointing or satisfying or, you know?
I don't know if my family wants to know the actual truth. That's the interesting thing. Like, for as much as like people have come back here and tried to like dig up more information, I think if the truth ended up being less interesting than their story, I don't think they're going to change their story.
Yeah.
I think they're going to continue to tell the story the way they want to tell the story.
But I need to know. I have to solve this mystery. I don't know if it's for me or for my dad or for Lorenza, but I have to solve it. So here I go. I'm looking for long-lost relatives. I'm digging through archives covered in dust and trying to trace back a family history that's been twisted by secrets, omissions, and vengeance. I can't do all of this from my desk in Philadelphia. I've got to go back. Back to, as my dad liked to call it, the motherland. I've got to go to Sicily, to the village of Caltabolota, where all of this happened in the first place. Back to where Lorenza was born, and maybe, just maybe, back to the very spot where she was murdered.
There's a landslide here.
That's a landslide.
This is the place.
We have the absolute certainty, 110%. That's
110%, this is it.
I want to see a picture when she died.
We don't have a picture of that.
Actually, a video.
You want to see a video? Videos didn't exist.
I'm bringing all of you on my summer vacation with my husband, three kids under the age of 7. Everyone is coming to Sicily with me to solve this 100-year-old murder.
Now I think it's pretty clear that something bad did happen to her.
Your father had his story that she was like the witch doctor.
Could Lorenza have been killed by the mafia for being a witch?
So I'm wondering, how is the story similar or different than what you got? So I heard two stories. One story is over land.
Mm-hmm.
And the other story is that she was a witch.
Well, that's even more interesting. What?
That's all coming up on The Sicilian Inheritance.
I'd love to know what the hell happened. Wouldn't it be great to solve this mystery?
I feel good. My Sicilian witchy powers. I feel like we're on the right path. The Sicilian Inheritance is a Kaleidoscope production in partnership with iHeart Podcasts. The series is produced by Jen Kinney, Kate Osborne, Dara Potts, and me, Joe Piazza, with key help from Laura Lee Watson of Digging Up Your Roots in the Boot and Ciro Grillo of Sicily Roots. Many thanks to Julia Paravicini and the Ancestry.com Research Department. You can get your copy of The Sicilian Inheritance, the novel, right now at truly anywhere that you get your books. Anywhere you get your books. It's got the same name as the podcast, but with more food, wine, and sex. Also, do not forget to get a taste of Sicily in the form of delicious Sicilian olive oil at Cardena's Tap Room. Make sure to check out our show notes for a link to buy it. Or, if you find yourself in Philly, just stop by. Our executive producers are Kate Osborne, Mangesh Hatikador, Costas Linos, and Oz Woloshin. From iHeart, executive producers are Katrina Norvell and Nikki Etor. We also want to thank Will Pearson, Connell Byrne, Bob Pittman, and John Marinopoulos.